Hollywood, in the wee hours of the morning, the boyfriend's facing a DUI charge. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and it's certainly great to be back with you again this week to talk about a number of important issues, a number of interesting issues. And that's certainly the case today with the topic that we're going to be talking about. The topic that we're talking about is the topic of teaching God's Word to children. And that's certainly something that is very important, and I'm sure on the heart and the mind of every Christian parent or grandparent that's out there in our listening audience today. Many people, I think, realize that this is something that they should be involved in. However, they often don't feel equipped to be able to do that. They often feel intimidated by the task. And so I thought that it would be good for us to do a program today that would just highlight a couple of the resources that are out there that I think could be of a tremendous help for parents as they seek to articulate the faith in such a way that children can be able to understand it and thus pass that faith along to their children. So I have a couple of authors with me in the studio today and another one on the phone, and we're going to try to take them in order here to talk about this subject of teaching God's Word to children. So if you have a question or a comment along this line, maybe you work in your church right now and you're involved in children's ministry, or maybe you're just interested from the standpoint of your own children or your grandchildren. I have three grandchildren myself, and so I'm always looking for resources. My girls, my children now are older, and so I don't use those types of resources with them. But for my grandkids now, I'm always looking to put something into my girls' hands that they can use with their children, or when the children are over at our house, that we can use. And so I've come across a couple of really good resources that I want to make sure that you're aware of, and I think as you hear our conversation today, you'll see what I mean. Let me tell you that you can participate in the program today. We set up a toll-free number for that purpose. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also, I have email up and running. And so if you're at a place where you can't call in and you'd rather just shoot me an email with a question or a comment about children's ministry, I would be happy to get your question or comment into the discussion via email. My email address is very simple. It's just kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org. And I'll be happy to work your question in, as I said, via that means. A couple of the authors that we're going to be speaking to today is we're going to speak first to Sally Michael. Sally is the co-founder of Children's Desiring God and the developer of their widely used Sunday school curriculum for young people. She's also the Minister of Program Development and Resources in the Family Discipleship Department at Bethlehem Baptist Church, and that's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A lot of folks will recognize the name of that church. That's the church where John Piper is the senior pastor at that church. And so we'll be speaking with her. She's on the phone right now. Let me start there and just welcome Sally into the program to start with. Sally, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here this morning.
Okay. Also with me in the studio is John and Youth and Ruth Yantz. Sorry about that. And I mentioned John. John is in the studio with me as well. And we really are not going to focus on John's book, but I said I'll be hard-pressed to have John in the studio with me and not make mention of his excellent work about speaking to your children daily. Everyday Talk, it's an excellent resource about speaking to your children, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Psalm 78, and other places in the scriptures, but speaking to your children on a regular basis about the things of God. And John, it's certainly a pleasure to have you here in the on the program with us as well.
Kevin, it's good to be back with you, and it's a great ministry you have here, so thank you.
You're welcome. And also, John's wife Ruth is here, and Ruth has just written a new book, and Ruth's new book is entitled Get Wisdom, Get Wisdom, and it's published by Shepherd Press. And in Ruth's book, let me read the introduction for Ruth's book. It says, Get Wisdom by Ruth Yantz is designed to be used with children from kindergarten through fourth grade. It has 23 lessons on qualities of wisdom and godliness. Each lesson is presented with illustrations to capture children's attention, supplemented with suggestions for teachers. Every child of God struggles with sin every day, and these lessons remind us that they will always find forgiveness and the grace to continue to get wisdom at the foot of the cross. Ruth, it's a pleasure to have you here with this program today, or with this book, and talk about this book here, Get Wisdom, on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be here.
Okay, so I made all the introductions. What we're going to do is start with Sally first, and we'll speak with Sally to about the bottom of the hour, and then we'll go ahead and switch to Ruth and talk to her about her book. Sally, your book is entitled God's Names, and in this book it specifically says, God knows that, I'm sorry, let me start right at the very top. It says, when you want to get to know someone, where do you start, or how do you introduce yourself? Usually you start with someone's name, and then it has a brief introduction about the book leading from there. Sally, tell us why you decided to write a children's book about this particular subject, the names of God.
Well, I think because God's character is shown so clearly through his names. The Bible says in Psalm 9:10, those who know your name put their trust in you. And so I think by knowing God's name, which then reveals his character, children can learn to trust him.
Mm. How many names do you actually have here in this book?
There's 26 chapters in the book, and probably 23 of them or 24 of them are in a specific name of God.
Was there any deliberation as to whether learning the names of God for children would be too difficult of a subject? Did you wrestle with that a little bit at all?
No, I really didn't, because I think children are capable of learning much more than we give them credit for. And I think deep theological truths can be taught to children as long as they are taught in a way that's understandable to them. And so I think you need to pay careful attention to how you explain things to children, being theologically correct, but also thinking how children think, so that you know what kind of pitfalls to avoid and how to explain things to them.
Hmm. I do think at times we tend maybe to talk down to children a bit too much. I'm often reminded of the back of one of the catechisms, which I think it may be the Westminster Confession of Faith in the shorter catechism. But the copy that I have of the catechism, if I remember correctly, it says on the back of it that it was originally designed for teaching to children. 107 questions that I often say that many preachers may be hard-pressed to give adequate answers to some of the things there, but yet it actually says that this was designed to be teaching to young people. Do you agree that sometimes we don't give them the credit or to ask, or, you know, really try to develop in them a good theological understanding?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And case in point, my own granddaughter, who at 5 years old knew 85 of the catechism questions, which really has given her a biblical framework of how to understand the world around her and to have biblical answers to things. And I do think that sometimes we minimize what children can understand. We also minimize the work of the Holy Spirit in the child's heart. Because if we are faithful to teach the truth to children, and they won't understand all of it, but you know what? I don't understand all of it either. And I'm 57 years old. But if we are faithful to teach the truth, I think children, through the gift, through the Holy Spirit's work, will understand much more than we think. Because he takes that truth that we have faithfully sown, and he gives it meaning. Just like a child doesn't understand chair, when you first tell a little tiny baby, this thing is a chair, 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 you keep repeating it. They don't understand all there is to know about a chair, but in time, because they have that knowledge, that begins to be filled up with meaning for them. I think it's the same with biblical truth, that we teach them theological terms, we teach them theological concepts, we teach them truths, verses from the Bible that in time get filled up with meaning, but also I think the Holy Spirit brings understanding because that fodder is there, and he just sets a match to it.
You mentioned that you know, we keep using the term children. What exact age group would you say that this book has been written to address?
Well, I wrote it for elementary age children, most specifically probably for kindergarten through fourth grade. So I think even older children and adults can learn from it, because God's names are something we don't usually know a lot about.
I was going to say that. This is another one of those books where I think many adults would be hard-pressed to answer or to say that they were familiar with some of these names. For instance, I just opened up to L. Roy, I think it's pronounced, the God who sees, here in this passage. Another one is Jehovah El, I don't even know this one, Emeth. Is that what it is? Jehovah El Emeth, the Lord God of Truth. And so you're right. I think that the parents are going to learn a tremendous amount as they go through this and, you know, to teach it to their children. Was there a certain name of God that really stuck out to you that you really felt maybe that you weren't that familiar with, but as you were doing research for the book and studying the names of God, that was of particular interest to you?
I would say that I love all the names of God, and it's really hard to pick out one name. But here's a name that I think encompasses a lot of who God is, and it's Jehovah Yahweh I Am. And what I love about that name is it's his personal name, but it also shows us so much about him, that he is self-existent and unchanging. Now, that sounds like a very difficult truth for children, self-existent.
Yeah.
But if you pull it apart by explaining what the word existent means, then what self-existent is, and you illustrate it. I illustrated it through the burning bush, that it kept burning and burning and burning, but it was never used up. And God is like that. He exists without the help of anything or anyone. He's never used up. He's never tired. He never runs out of resources. And I just, it's such a beautiful picture of the magnificence and wonder of our God, that he is self-existent. He doesn't need anything or anyone, and he's unchanging. So we can count on him, because who he was yesterday is who he will be today and tomorrow. And I love all the names of God, and obviously I'm still learning what they mean. I mean, just even learning creator. I mean, such a simple thing, God made all things. Well, you know, there are thousands of species that show his creativity. And I just think we never run out of things to learn about God.
Amen. I have actually just made that same point in one of the services, speaking about the idea of I am, that I am, as you're talking about there at the burning bush, with it being burning but yet not consumed, and the concept being there, as you were just conveying, that the same God who did these tremendous works in the life of Moses and the Israelites, recorded for us there in the books of Moses, is the same God that we serve today. And he's always the same. He's immutable and never changing, and we can rest and be dependent upon him just like they were, like Moses was, and the faithful ones were in the books of Moses as well. Those are great concepts. Let me remind our listening audience that we're speaking with Sally Michael. And Sally, we're speaking with Sally about her book entitled God's Names. This book is published by P&R Publishing, and I actually have some copies of the book to give away today. Let me first of all give you the website for P&R Publishing. It's www.prpbooks.com. That's prpbooks, and books is plural, .com. And you can go out to their website to find out more information. But I'll tell you what, during the course of our conversation today, if you call in or send an email with your question or comment, I'll be happy to make sure that one of these children books, courtesy of P&R Publishing, that gets sent to your home, and so you can take advantage of this as well. Again, the number here to participate in the program today, it's a toll-free number. It's good across the country. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And the email address here is Kevin, that's K-E-V-I-N, at knowingthetruth.org. Sally, let me ask you, what's the methodology that you have in mind for people to use this book? Is it designed for a home setting? Is it designed for a church setting? How do you envision it being used?
Well, I think it'd be used in many different settings, but let me tell you my heart burden and why I wrote it. I wrote an introduction to parents in the beginning of this book to teach them how to teach their children how to use the book. Because I think, according to Deuteronomy 6, 4-9, parents are the primary faith nurturers of their children. And this book is just an attempt to help parents with that privilege and responsibility. And it seeks to promote spiritual dialogue between parent and child.
Mm.
And when I say parent, I also mean grandparent or babysitter or
yes.
aunt and uncle. It's a book that anybody can use to influence the faith of the next generation. And so there's instruction for children, for parents, so that they know how to use the book. There's an emphasis on application so that children are not just learning facts and concepts,
mm-hmm.
but they're also seeing that truth intersects with their lives, and they must embrace it. And they must see the connection between the eternal truths of the Bible and their own lives and learn to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of each section, there is a learning to trust, or every story, there's a learning to trust section, which helps them make some application. It helps the parent, again, with more spiritual dialogue with the child, not just reading a story, but asking them questions, discussing things. It has an activity for them. And so there's a teaching component to it. So you're not just sitting and reading a story, but you are actually teaching about God and teaching the truth. I wrote it for parents and children. I think it can be used our church is thinking about using it on a Wednesday nights in the summer, for example, in a program.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's lots of ways it can be used.
Sure. It sounds like a great it might make a great VBS program as well. I think used in individually, like I was saying, with my own grandchildren, and then in the church setting, we're always looking for good materials and also maybe even in events like a VBS program. We also do a program in the public school system associated with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and I could see how much of what's taught in this book could be used there as well. Sally, let me mention that we've got a caller from Greenville, South Carolina, right here. Annette is on the line. Hey, Annette, welcome to the Knowing the Truth program today.
Hi.
You got a question or a comment for our guest today?
Yes, actually, I have a three-part question all about the uses of the book. First of all, I was wondering, and I'm supposed to let you comment.
Okay.
I was wondering about if you have actually seen it or use it yourself or anyone in your family has used it in a homeschool setting, and if so, you know, how did that work out? Secondly, if it would be appropriate, say, if a Christian school wanted to use it as part of a Bible curriculum,
mm-hmm.
possibly for like a semester, maybe in a junior high or a high school setting. And then thirdly, do you see it would be useful at all as a tool to give as a gift maybe to an unsaved friend, an adult?
Mm. Great questions, Annette. Annette, send me an email, okay, with your mailing address, and I'll make sure that you get a copy of this. And you said you'd like to listen to the answer offline. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. We'll pass that along to Sally. You'll be able to hear it. My email address, once again, is just kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Make sure you include your mailing address in the mention of the book as soon as you can, and I'll make sure that a copy gets sent out to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Annette. Could you hear the questions okay?
Well, I had a little bit of a hard time. I heard parts of the question.
Let me just reiterate. The beginning was, can it be used in a homeschooling setting? Could it be used in a Christian school setting? And would it make a good gift, possibly even for an unsaved person, that as they were teaching their child these things, would it work in that setting as well?
Let me comment on the schooling situations first. Yes, it would work in a homeschooling situation or a school situation, certainly, because the information is, I think it's deep, and it's truth, and they're going to learn new concepts, and a teacher could obviously use this, and even the learning to trust section in a school situation. The book is also based on a curriculum, which Children Desiring God produces. And so in a school setting, I would also encourage, I think what would be ideal would be to use the Children Desiring God, How Majestic Is Your Name curriculum, and then at home have the parents use the book with the children at home.
Mm.
And that would be the best of both worlds. So they're getting it at school, but then they're also reinforcing it at home. Now, the names don't exactly parallel because there are 38 lessons in the How Majestic Is Your Name curriculum. But most of them are the same, so there's enough crossover that would be an ideal pairing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be very exciting to do that.
Excellent.
As far as could it be used as a gift, yes, it could be used as a gift. I think Kenar has done a wonderful, wonderful job of making it very appealing to children and to parents, and beautiful artwork and beautiful layout. The stories are short. They're just 4 pages long, and that includes picture space. So it's very accessible. What I like about it, too, for using it with non-Christians, it's not just my words, but there are Bible texts inserted in there. And I think the Lord works through his word.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us he does. And just for them to read his word, I mean, a text here and then explained, it's explained so a child can understand it. I think it gives great meaning to an adult as well.
Mm, amen. Well said, and I hope Annette heard all of that and could hear that it can be used in any of those 3 arenas that she spoke about. Sally, I understand you guys are hosting a 2011 Children's Desiring God Conference that's coming up in just a few days. Tell us a little bit about that as we close out this portion of the interview today.
Yep, every 2 years, Children Desiring God hosts a conference. We always pick a theological theme to build our conference around, and we have plenary speakers that come and speak on that theme. But then we also have a number of breakout sessions, workshops to help children's leaders and children's workers. The conference this year is March 9 through 11. It starts with a pre-conference, which is a whole afternoon of just talking about philosophy of children's ministry, what God-centered teaching is, why we teach theologically sound, deep material to children, what it means to be Bible-saturated and to teach the full counsel of God, and why we do application and how we do application in teaching the Bible to children.
Hmm.
It's a wonderful conference, very different than most children's conferences. It's also, I think, a worship time, because everyone who comes, I think, walks away fortified in their own faith.
Mm.
The theme this year is Standing on the Truth, and we are attempting to strengthen the hands of children's workers to teach truth to children, not to back down from any aspect of the truth, and to be faithful in teaching the truth. And Russ Moore will be one of our speakers, Russell Moore, as
yes.
well as John Piper does the opening talk, and Kempton Turner, one of our pastors at Bethlehem, who works with youth, and my husband David Michael,
it's
Saturday morning.
Excellent. You know, by the way, just by way of personal testimony, I have used some of the materials that you have on the website for Children's Desiring God, specifically just your the methodology and the approach that you have about thinking about the children's heart and about remembering that, you know, that we're all born into sin and born with a sin nature. And I've used that not only myself, but actually made copies or passed along the link to your website to other people in our children's ministry so that they could read through that as well. So I really appreciate the work that you guys are doing there. Just one thing about this upcoming conference I noticed you didn't mention is what's the temperature there?
Well, we are in Minnesota, you know.
Yeah, I was laughing about it earlier. I said these conferences in Minnesota in the beginning of March. Boy, you've got to really be a strong believer to go there and check that out. We had 60s or 70s here in Greenville, so we're weak.
Olivia.
We're very weak in the faith in this aspect. Sally, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the work that you guys do at Desiring God, Children Desiring God specifically. Thank you very much for writing this book. I pray that God mightily uses it in the life of young people and parents and grandparents across the country. And thank you very much for taking the time out today to visit with us for a few moments here on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Well, thank you, too. Not for the chance to promote a book, but for the chance to promote God's name.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Thank you, Sally. It's a privilege. Okay, that was Sally Michael, and Sally is the author of God's Name, the book we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes or so on the radio program. Again, you can get a copy of the book out at www.prpbooks.com. That's Presbyterian and Reformed Book Company or publisher, prpbooks.com. You can go out there and find out more about how you can get a copy of this book. I mentioned just a moment ago this upcoming conference. That's going to serve is a good transition to our next author. Ruth Yance is here with me in the studio. Her book is going to be launched at that conference. We'll talk about it in just a minute.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I'm inviting you to join us this spring. We will be having our 24th annual conference in March from the 24th to the 26th here in Orlando, Florida. We have a tremendous team of speakers lined up for that event, including John Piper, Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, Steve Lawson, R.C. Sproul Jr. Over our 40 years of ministries, we've been blessed that God has allowed us to link arms with like-minded teachers and ministries. One of those blessings for me has been the opportunity to work beside John Piper and the people of Desiring God to promote the cause of Christ. And to celebrate each ministry's unique focus, this conference will focus on the theme Light and Heat, a passion for the holiness of God. Register before March 17th to get the reduced registration rate. You can call 800-435-4343 or visit us at ligonier.org/events for more information.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie D's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie D's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie D's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie D's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
What does the Bible teach me to expect of God if I'm His beloved child? How does our adoption change our attitude toward history and the church? These are some of the subjects we'll consider as we study the doctrine of adoption at this year's Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. We'll also see how practical it is for our lives. For more information, visit AllianceNet.org or call 1-800-488-1888. 1-800-488-1888.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the program today, the Knowing the Truth radio program. We're talking in the first half just a moment ago with Sally Michael from Children's Desiring God Ministry. Of course, the church there with John Piper pastors, but they've got a number of great people there on staff that do a number of different things, not just John Piper, but many others that are involved in that ministry. And it was great to talk with her about her book on called God's Name. God's names. At the end of that, I mentioned about an upcoming conference. Well, the Children's Desiring God conference that's going to take place in just a week or so, there's actually going to be the release of a brand new book that's published through Shepherd Press. And the name of that book is called Get Wisdom, 23 Lessons for Children About Living for Jesus. And with me here in the studio is Ruth Yance, and also she brought a fella along with her, her husband, John. And John's been here before, and I've talked with him about his book. But this time it's Ruth's turn, and so Ruth has written this excellent book about the idea of wisdom and how do we convey the wisdom that we find in the Scriptures. How do we convey that to children? It's very much needed. The book of Proverbs specifically has so much great teaching in it that need to be passed along to our young people. This is something that we see is missing. And so I think that this book is extremely necessary for the particular day and age that we live. Ruth, I don't have a long bio here in front of me for you, but let me just let folks know that you work in the children's ministry at your church. Mm-hmm. Tell us just a little bit about what you do. What do you do there? And that's at Redeemer Presbyterian Church. Is that correct?
That's right.
Which is a, I was going to say PCA. You guys are going to shoot me. ARP Church.
Yes, ARP.
In Moore Duncan.
Right.
Area. Yeah, I know you wouldn't mind me saying PCA. But
no.
So tell me what you do there in children's ministry.
Well, obviously I manage the curriculum and the teachers and keep the classes staffed and so on. kind of my favorite thing is that I'm able to develop curriculum for the children's ministry.
Excellent.
And that's how the this particular booklet came about. Was I was developing it for, we started an after school program 3 or 4 years ago, and that was in addition to teaching the Bible stories and curriculum that we use. I wanted something that would teach the children and the parents how to train children in Christian character. It's easy for parents when they have a baby, young children, they are so eager to train their children, and sometimes they're not sure what to do once they get past, well, the kids have to obey and be nice. Mm-hmm. but the specifics of biblical wisdom are it's a huge topic to cover.
Yeah.
And so we started doing that. It goes way beyond just simple obedience, even though, of course, that's a basis. The first one I did was listening. Because with you know, 4 and 5 year olds, you got to get them to sit still and listen. That's kind of the first stage. But anyway, it went on from there until I had 23, and eventually it turned into a booklet because we needed to be able to send it home with the parents.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important for the church and the families to work together. We don't want the parents to just send the kids to church and there needs to be that correspondence between the home and the church.
Sure.
So it's turned into a booklet that the families use at home, and we teach. In fact, the first 3 years that we had it, we taught the children the same material three years in a row, because you don't learn any of the character qualities that God wants us to live. You don't learn them in 1 hour of teaching.
That's right.
It's over and over and over. So anyway, that's the way it got started.
Yeah, I was we were doing the Lord's Supper, celebrating Lord's Supper this past Sunday, and I zeroed in for just a couple moments on that word remember. And I said the reason why it's listed a few times in this passage, of course the passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is because we have such a propensity to forget.
Right.
So especially with children, we have to reinforce the message over and over again. And something like this, the resource that you've provided, certainly helps to do that, right? So you can do it not only there in the classroom, and the teacher has it readily available then to do it, but by giving it to the parent, they can then reinforce it as well. Is that fair to say that that would help that way?
That's exactly right. And even the we incorporate a playtime when the kids come in. They come in from different schools at different times, so we have half an hour or so, and to do games. And one of the things we're trying to do is have the adults who are there supervised, because playtime gives a lot of time for character quality teaching.
Oh, good point. Good point.
So when the kids get too rough, they're not patient with one another,
mm-hmm.
there's things that we can remind them of or say, now, what about being gentle? What does the Bible say about that? And because we have older children and younger children, there's just, you know, just like in life, in family life, you've got opportunities to teach character qualities all the time, all the time.
That's an excellent idea. That's the first time that I've ever heard somebody get more mileage out of the playtime. Most of the time, you know, you hear somebody say, well, we have them play first because we want to get the wiggles out. You know, we want to get them so that they're a little tired out and they'll sit there and listen. But I like the idea of what you're saying, that, you know, you can watch how they interact during that time and then bring that right into the lesson. In fact, let's film it and play it back to them again. No, just kidding.
You know, we actually do a lot of role play. The kids' favorite thing is to do role play. Only the funny thing is, they really like doing the demonstrating the wrong way to do something.
Oh,
and
yeah.
But then they have to do the right way.
Yeah.
But they just love that they are allowed to you know, stomp their feet and get angry.
Yeah.
As part of a role play.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have to say, no. Now you have to do it the right way.
Yeah.
Like boys with cars,
you know, they.
Yeah.
You just want them to race with it, but they enjoy the crashes, you know.
Yeah.
Can we crash them again? And I said, no, we're just getting the idea of the race down. I'm going to try to beat you. Well, let's crash them.
Yeah.
Well, that's so good. And now you've picked out these qualities. Now, are they all picked out of the book of Proverbs?
I think you can find them all in the book of Proverbs.
Okay.
Some of the verses are from other places, but they're predominantly Proverbs.
Okay. Let me remind our listening audience, too, just so that they feel free to call in with a question or a comment as well. We're speaking right now with Ruth Yance about her book entitled Get Wisdom, and this is a book that's been published by Shepherd's Press. Is it Shepherd's? No, just Shepherd Press. And is it shepherdpress.com? I didn't have a chance to bring
it
up here.
Yes, that's correct.
By the way, John Yance writes a really good newsletter that is put out periodically. I'm going to say close to once a week or so. But I just got the latest one here this morning. And it mentions in here that you can get this book right now from the time of this broadcast up until March 10th. The book is available. And this is a pre-publication. It hasn't been released yet, but you can get it from now until March 10th for only $5.99. Imagine that. You could skip Chick-fil-A for one day, and you could make an eternal investment in the life of some child. And so, sorry about that, Chick-fil-A, but we'll catch up with you later. So here you could do, just go out to the website, www.shepherdpress.com. And you can go out there and find out more about how you can get this tremendous book right now for only $5.99. I'll tell you what, during the rest of our broadcast, which we have about 15 minutes left in our interview here today, if you call in with your question or comment while supplies last, I only have a few copies to give away, but the good folks over there at Shepherd Press have given us a couple copies to be able to give to you. So let me give you the number here. If you got a question about children's ministry, about specifically about how to teach wisdom type items to children, I'll be happy to take your question or comment today via the phone or via email. And the phone number here, let me give it to you very quickly. It's good again nationwide. I noticed, just looked, there's a lot of people listening out on sermon audio right now across the country. And so if you want to call in, it's good for you as well. We'll mail these out to you so they'll come to your mailbox. The number here is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also, my email address It's very simple. It's just kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and I'd be happy to take your question or comment via email as well. In fact, I see one here in email. I'll read through this in just a second and see if I can work it into the conversation. Let me just go back to Ruth for a second, because I had a question about what she taught in this. Ruth, I see in the beginning of the book, you have an introduction section of the book, and you provide in the introduction section some teaching helps that explain, you know, basically how this book should be used. And then you have a little bit of an introduction section that talks about, you know, what is Christian wisdom, and can I be good and wise like Jesus if I work hard enough, and questions like this. Go through just a little bit of this as to why you felt it was important to lay this groundwork in the beginning before giving the lessons that you give.
Well, there's a lot that could be said about that, but basically all of the Christian character qualities, and I emphasize Christian, we can only accomplish them through the power of the Holy Spirit and as Christians. We don't want to teach our children just to be good. Mm-hmm. You know, you can work with anybody and get them to behave the way you want. You mm-hmm. can be threatening, but it wouldn't come from the heart, and it wouldn't be in the end pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have this the page at the beginning on Christian wisdom to explain that we live as Christians desiring to please God.
Mm-hmm.
And all these lessons are really, they're the results of loving God, not how we please God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important for children to understand that their obedience and their character is the result of God loving us, and our ability to please Him and obey Him is only because He's given us that strength. Otherwise, it's just being Pharisees
mm-hmm.
if we're doing it.
I was going to say that. You sound like you're drawing a sharp distinction between moralism, where we could just get outward conformity from the child, versus really addressing the child's heart. Is that
exactly? That's exactly what I'm saying.
Hmm. And so your book is written with that in mind, so much so that even in the introduction there, you're telling parents or whoever is going to be using the book that this is not your ultimate goal, is just to achieve outward conformity and make them do what you want just so that your life goes smoother.
Exactly.
And the furniture looks better and all of
that. And it's tempting. It's tempting to do it that way because,
yeah.
You know what, it takes a lot of time to teach it the other way, this way.
Right.
And that's also why on the second page of each character quality is like a two-page layout.
Mm-hmm.
And it at the bottom of it, there's a prayer for each one so that children can be reminded that they need to always be asking God to help them do this,
mm-hmm.
whether it's having gratitude or telling the truth or learning to be content,
mm-hmm.
meekness. I even have one that it's a little harder for the youngest ones, but a lesson on justice.
Mm.
That's a very powerful concept in the Old Testament, especially, but in the New as well.
Sure.
And that takes a little more time to work with the middle school children, but that's something that only comes by the grace of God.
Mm, amen. You know, the one on justice, I believe you have an image there in the book that has the scales with it.
Right.
And I think that that type of imagery that you put there in the book that goes along with the word is so important because the reinforcement part again,
mm-hmm.
that small children, they're going to be in the kitchen when things are being baked or whatever, and you could... you could then reinforce the idea of justice and equity by, you know, we may not use scales like this in our kitchen, but we would use measuring cups and,
right.
and you know, measuring out the right amount and, you know, these types of things and comparing the two amounts like a scale would do. And so those are very helpful to be able to reinforce the messages with the children.
Right.
Is that why you included those?
That's why I have all the pictures. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a picture, and some of them you kind of have to stop and think, well, what does that have to do with this, you know, particular quality? And so I include a little explanation. It's kind of the very last thing, an explanation of how that's like this particular quality.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm teaching, sometimes I even have, like I have a little balance, a set of scales that's just it's small, but it's a real, for real thing.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, it's an actual scale, and they can touch it and play with it and. You know, with as many as I can, I have something like that to show.
A couple of them that I'm looking at here is the first one about listening. You had a rabbit, of course, with the oversized ears.
Right.
And then the next one going down, or I don't know if it's exactly the next one. The next one was contentment, or at least I'm open to contentment here.
Mm-hmm.
Contentment with a cat.
Yeah.
That's a good picture of contentment.
Yeah.
And orderliness, and you have a... have a clock there. You know, we have a joke at our church. We say that there is Eastern Standard Time and Mountain Time, and then there's Mountain Bridge Time because we always seem to start the service later than what we should. And so maybe we should read over that one again. I love the colors and the way that you've laid the book out. Now, you also put a section here that deals with examples. Explain that. You have the word, like, for instance, I'm open to trust right now. It says, trust is believing and doing what God tells me in the Bible, even when it's hard to do. And then it has the Bible verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And then up on the other side, it says examples, and it has some blank spaces there with some written in already. Tell me what the purpose of that is.
Well, that's where the kids... the kids give the example of that they that they're thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give a couple of examples, and then that's for them to have
More the application section for them, that how
right,
do you apply
right.
this
so
thing?
Yeah, so they're actually showing the example of what is,
Is it just the example of what's going on in their own life at that moment, what they expected?
Right.
I like that because so often the example part or the application part is missing. You know, so if we don't give them how does this relate directly to what you're doing, it can come across as just theory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a child, of course, may not understand that idea of theory, but just rote learning with no real application to how I'm living on a daily basis.
Right.
And so showing them that, connecting those dots, I think, is vitally important. We've got a couple questions that have come in via email here. Let me read one that was sent in just a little bit earlier. This was just a general comment about the things that we're talking about. This was from Tamara. She says this: we're really thankful for the ministry that you're doing, Pastor Bowling. My wife and I have three teenage boys, and we have recently been blessed with a daughter. We have failed many times, but also we have learned so much about biblical parenting over the years and are very excited for the opportunity of starting over with our little girl. I have a strong desire to lead my family and to know and love God. I'm thinking this book would be a great resource for my family worship, as we all need to be reminded of who God is. So there's just one general comment. Let me give you another one here. Thank you for the information presented with your guest on her book. So they're just giving a general comment here. Here's an actual question coming in from Jeff. Jeff says this. I apologize if you've already answered this question, but I tuned in a little bit late. He says, question, my wife recently took over the children's ministry at our church. Is this book appropriate for children 10 and under? This is an age group that she handles. She is looking for more topics, ideas, and wisdom to pass on to the children. Look forward to hearing your answer. So would this be good for that purpose?
Yeah, I think the
a target age for the for
yeah
the book? He's asking specifically about, or they are, is this book appropriate for children 10 and under? This is the age group that she specifically handles. So you
right.
think for 10 and under it would be appropriate? It sounds like it would be.
Yeah, and really the...
You talk about the purpose of what you're trying to accomplish there.
Right, right. And the...
It's okay.
Your application of what you want to help in terms of teaching them.
Right, right.
And that would fit for that age. Or, you know, I had asked Sally this question. I asked her about what would be a good setting to use this book in. What would you say the setting would be equally the same that she responded? We talked about a homeschool setting or a church setting. You know, any of those types, this would fit equally well in all of those settings.
Yeah,
that's a particular goal you have. One of the things you want to do is have parents working with the children.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
mm-hmm.
even applies with the other one, the 10 and under. It's not just, the goal here is not just to have something where the children buy into a particular truth, but to have them connected to the parents
right.
or the teachers in this case, so they're actually working very closely together to put these things in practice, like the first example you mentioned about
exactly.
being able to play.
Exactly. That's true.
We had another question that came in as well, was asking this. It says, first of all, Kevin, thank you for your second guest as well today. I do have a question for her. I think we've already answered this, but I'm going to read it anyways. It says, in regard to this book, do you use the book of Proverbs mainly for the teaching of wisdom, or are the themes drawn from all the scriptures more equally? And I think the response to that was primarily the book of Proverbs, but these same
mm-hmm.
themes are not exclusive in the book of Proverbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're themes
Absolutely.
That run throughout the 66 books of the Bible.
Yep.
So while you might start in Proverbs, you can certainly trace that through other areas.
Yeah, let me jump in there, Ruth, because I know you want to comment on this as well, but the fruit of the Spirit is woven through all of these.
Yeah. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll see particular fruit, individual examples of that fruit woven through these things. So it's really the Galatians 5
mm-hmm.
and Proverbs, you know, primarily being the major source.
Right.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, this looks like a tremendous resource, as we mentioned earlier on the program today. You can get a copy of this book. It's called Get Wisdom. Very simple, simply stated, you know, Get Wisdom. 23 Lessons for Children About Living for Jesus. It's written by Ruth Yantz, and it's published by Shepherd Press. That's www.shepherdpress.com. And so you can go out to their website. John, we're down to just a couple of moments, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell us a little bit about what's going on there at Shepherd Press. You guys have great books like this coming out. I did an interview just recently with another author from there about Red Like Blood with Bob Bevington was with me the other day. This book is coming out now. You had two or three other books that I know I was looking at, and I know I did another
Brian Hedges. You did
Brian Hedges, right.
Yeah. We're excited about what Shepherd Press is doing. There's an overall vision to you know, if you will, shepherd the family towards Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything was one of the reasons we're so glad to be associated with Shepherd Press, because there is that vision of integrity, of bringing the heart issues like we've just been talking about here. So we have that ministry. We have the blog that which I do
mm-hmm.
on a you know, pretty much daily basis. But it's just bringing these things to focus in the Christian life.
Yes.
And so that's what we're excited about. You see it at the website, and you of course have archives here of people who've talked.
Exactly. And they can go out there and sign up for that newsletter.
Absolutely.
Right at the shepherdpress.com page. Hey, by the way, I got their page up here, and it says they're giving away a Kindle. Right.
Yes.
Now. So Shepherd Press is running a sweepstake through March 13th, and they'll pick three winners at random, three of them, yes, and three winners, and each one will receive a Kindle preloaded with 10 Shepherd Press ebooks on it, like When Sinners Say I Do and Get Out of My Face and Broken Down House and Christ Warmed in You and so on and so on. You don't want to miss out on your opportunity to take advantage of that. Ruth, thank you so much for being with us. John, the same. And thank you, folks, for being with us as well. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Knowing the
You've
Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25. In Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.